after this introduction of Paul, filled with such important terms, giving us so much needed information so that we can understand what a Christian is as he describes saints, and he introduces to us the will and the grace of God in Christ, then Paul blesses God in this long doxology. Verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." This is the beginning of a long, continuous praise, which continues through verse 14. It is broken down into five sentences in our English translation, but it is one long sentence in the Greek. And within it, there are three sections, and within each section, there are several phrases. So it's this long, continuous building, one upon the other upon the other. It is a passage of praise, and it is filled with doctrine. You can't just read through the first chapter of Ephesians and just go on. It is so deep. It is so profound. And I want you to see first, before we even get into this, how it flows out of the greeting, and then it's followed by his prayer. It's all connected. Again, the greeting was not merely a greeting. The greeting sets the tone for the rest of his letter. You are saints, believers, in Christ Jesus. May grace and peace continually be yours every day. May you sense the power of his sustaining grace every day. And may that continuing peace be yours every day, no matter what you're going through, no matter what trial, no matter what situation. You began by grace, you continue by grace, and then he blesses the God of grace as the source of every spiritual blessing. And in his doxology, as he does this, as he praises God, as he blesses God, he blesses him first for who he is and for what he has done. And he also sets forth these great doctrines. He blesses God for his eternal purpose. And you may not see that right now, but by the time we finish it up, you'll see God's purpose is there. His eternal purpose and what he's done to accomplish his eternal purpose, setting forth how it's possible that saints enjoy the blessings of grace and peace. And not only that, but how every spiritual blessing is ours, all to the praise of God's glory. So in verses 4 through 14, what we're going to see as we finish it all, we're going to start out kind of seeing what the whole thing is about. He's going to summarize some of the spiritual blessings, which are the possession of every saint. This is the basis for his praise, and this is the basis for our worshiping and praising our God. He directs our attention to the ultimate cause and goal of salvation. He explains to us in this how saints become saints, why they're saints. It is all God-centered. It is all emphasizing Christ. Please note that as you study this, it is all about God and what he has done, not man and what he's contributed. It is all God. He describes the blessings from the standpoint of God's purpose, God's pleasure, God's will, God's grace, and every time it's for the praise of his glory. He directs our attention to the purpose of a sovereign God established in eternity past and being worked out to the minutest detail in the present age today, and he takes us all the way to the future. He describes the blessings of God as the work of the Trinity. If we are to have the correct biblical view of God and his purpose and salvation, then the three persons of the Godhead must be presented, because a saint serves and worships a triune God. Three persons in one. This passage naturally breaks into three sections. In verses 3 through 6, Paul praises God the Father for what he's done. And in that section we have election, predestination, according to the kind intention of his will, before the foundation of the world. So we're talking about what we spoke about this last week, eternity past. There is no past and future in eternity, but that's the way we're explaining it. Before the foundation of the world, eternity past. And the section ends in verse 6 with, to the praise of the glory of his grace. Then in 7 through 12, Paul praises God the Son and what he has done in his first coming. Redemption through his blood. Forgiveness for this present time. What has been accomplished in Christ for the present. And this section also ends in verse 12, to the praise of his glory. And then in 13 through 14, he praises God the Holy Spirit and his work, who has sealed these benefits to the individuals as a pledge of the inheritance. For there are future aspects of God's plans that are yet to be fulfilled. And it also ends in verse 14, to the praise of his glory. So Paul blesses each person of the Godhead. God the Father ordains, God the Son achieves, and God the Spirit applies and seals. So we're going to learn from this passage not only the great eternal purpose of God, but we shall see from this what should be the practice of every saint, to bless the God of all grace, just as Paul did. First of all, for who he is, and then what he has done on our behalf, all on the basis of grace, which has resulted in peace for us and every spiritual blessing. And then in 15 through 22, Paul prays for the saints, for it is his great desire that the saints know. He prays for a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God, because the more we know, the more we understand God and his purpose, the more we will experience these blessings, the more we will praise God as Paul did, the more God will be glorified and we'll live according to what we know. So we need to study this passage carefully. Let's look at the opening verse. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. His praise, his gratitude, is in the form of a blessing. He uses three Greek derivations of the word bless. Eulogitos, eulogesis, and eulogia. Blessed be, blessed, and blessing. Blessed be God. That's the first one. That's eulogitos. Means to speak well of one who is worthy of praise. Blessed be God. In the New Testament, this word, eulogitos, is used exclusively of God. When man blesses God, it means we speak well of him. It's not that we bestow anything good upon him. As I've already said, he needs nothing. He is absolutely infinite and all-sufficient. We don't give him anything but praise. So in Scripture, when you read man blessing God, the reference is to praise and thanksgiving. And it's preceded by some realization of some divine blessing, which has prompted you to praise him or to bless him. God is blessed when he is praised by his people for who he is or what he has done. So we bless him. And in this case, Paul writes, blessed be God. Why? For he has blessed us. Blessed be God who has blessed us. Now, always look at every pronoun to determine who it refers to. Who does it apply to? And us, in this verse, is a pronoun referring to Paul the author and those he's writing to. Saints, faithful in Christ, believers. Saints are the recipients of the blessings described in this passage. They're not for everyone. Therefore, saints. God has blessed saints. And the word blessed here, the second use of the word bless, means to bestow a good upon, to confer well-being upon someone. God has blessed saints. We bless him. We praise him for what he's done. He blesses us. He's given us something we never had before. So that's why you make sure you understand. When you bless God, you're not giving him something. You're praising him for who he is or what he's done. But when he blesses saints, he is doing something. He's blessing. He's giving a benefit. He's conferring some kind of good upon you that you didn't have before. He acts in the lives of his people to fulfill his purpose, to bestow good upon, to pour out well-being upon his people so that he can bring them into the desired relationship with himself, so that he can be our God and we can be his people. So Paul writes, blessed be God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We've talked about this. All spiritual blessings have their source in the grace of God the Father. And God the Father is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father is the first person of the Trinity. God the Son is the second. He was appointed by the Father to be the mediator between man and God. He is the Word, the Son of God, who became flesh. He is fully man and fully God. He is the unique, only begotten, eternal Son of God. He is not Son by creation. He is not Son by adoption. He is the eternal Son. He is of the same nature and essence of God the Father. He became flesh according to the eternal purpose, to redeem God's people. And as the perfect, holy God-man, he served while on this earth. He served and obeyed God his Father. And as a result of his finished work, God the Father bestowed these blessings we're going to talk about that were secured by Christ, his Son, to his people. So Paul blesses, he praises the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, conferred upon the saints, every blessing. Now, this third word, blessing, is eulogia. It means benefit. And these blessings, these benefits, he says, are spiritual. Pneumaticus. And in the New Testament, this word always refers to the work of the Holy Spirit. God's blessings are spiritual blessings. He is the source, and God is spirit. These blessings are produced by or belong to the Spirit of God. And they are spiritual in nature, and they are communicated to us through the Holy Spirit. So you can see right now why I tell you that these blessings are for saints only, because what is the natural man? He has no spiritual life. And these blessings are ours through the Spirit. And notice the word every. What is included in that word? Every spiritual blessing. Every spiritual blessing that can be given. Every spiritual blessing that is necessary. Is God all-knowing? Is He all-wise? Does He know His plan and His purpose? Does He know what's needed to accomplish this? Does He know what His people are going to need to become His people and for Him to be their God? He knows everything, and He knows what's needed, and He has secured every spiritual blessing to accomplish His purpose. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Now, the word places is in italics, if you're looking at the New American Standard, and that's the way it is in your worksheets. It's been added by the translators. The word is literally in the heavenlies. And this is a phrase that Paul will use 5 times in his letter. Heavenly places speaks of the third heaven, that realm in which God, in a very special manner, manifests His presence and glory. God the Father is in heaven. He is the one in whom the spiritual blessings originate. God the Son is in heaven, through whom the spiritual blessings descend by His Spirit. God dwells in heaven. This is where the spiritual blessings come from, and this is where one day the saints will experience these blessings to the fullest. And finally, he says, you're blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Again, here's the second time he uses this significant phrase. Christ is in the heavenly realm now. And he will tell us in verse 20, God raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenlies. And then he'll tell us in chapter 2, verse 6, God raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places. So every spiritual blessing is bestowed upon saints because of what Christ has done on their behalf. Every saint is, at the moment of regeneration, at the moment you're born again, you're joined to Christ. You share in and participate in His life. You're united to Him. That's what Paul teaches again and again. You're in Christ, indwelt by His Spirit, bound to Him by this mystical union, so that whatever is true of Him is true of us spiritually. He's the federal head. He is our fellow heir. We're members of His body. He has given to the saints all the riches in Christ through His Spirit. His privilege is ours. His possession is ours. We're in Him, united by Him, so that everything He's achieved for us becomes ours. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing that comes from the heavenlies because we're in Christ. God's purpose is to call people to Himself. He gives His people to Jesus. He unites us to His life. It's a mystical but very important union. It's so important to understand this because you see so many people who profess to be Christians, but there's no evidence. Christianity is not a religion. It's not merely a profession. It's not a reformation. It's not cleaning up your act. It's not some temporary or superficial change. It is a radical new birth. You're born again. And the change is parallel, in a sense, to what happened to Christ. You're taken from one realm into another. Just as Jesus died and was buried and resurrected and made alive and taken out of the grave and seated in the heavenly places, this is a picture of regeneration. What happens to you? You're born again. You're raised from the dead. You are now alive in Christ and seated with Him. This is God's purpose. He is calling out a people to be His people. But you were dead. You were spiritually dead. So by grace, God intervened. It's all grace. That's what Paul's talking about. Praying that His saints, that the saints will understand. Praying that our eyes will be enlightened so that we'll understand this great power toward us. The same power that God brought about in raising Christ from the dead has been imputed to you, has been done in you. He has raised you from the dead. So He's reminding the saint of who you are, what has taken place. You're set apart. You are radically different. The Holy Spirit of God now lives in you, and He's working in your soul, and He's put this new principle of heavenly life in you. You're no longer in darkness. You've been transferred to this new kingdom of light. You still live on this earth, but you're a citizen of heaven. You're just passing through. You're in Christ, and Christ's kingdom is not of this world. You're different. You see the world differently. You live differently. You have a new understanding. You're a new creature. You now see spiritual truth. You have different thoughts, different hopes, different interests. Your future is in the heavenly realm. You have the mind of Christ now. You didn't have it before. You have His mind. You still live and struggle and suffer and do battle and go through sorrow, but every spiritual blessing in the heavenly place is yours because you are now a citizen of heaven. You are in Christ. And every blessing is for your good, to secure you, to prepare you, to fit you, to make this journey, to go through this pilgrimage, and to one day be with Him, because that's His purpose. And if you keep that eternal purpose in your mind, then these scriptures will just jump off the page. They'll be alive to you. He's securing you. He's preparing you. By faith, right now, your mind, your heart is focused in the heavenlies. These blessings are eternal. They're lasting. And their completion, the fullness of these blessings, will be in heaven, where our hope is laid up, what we're looking forward to. Out of the reach of the enemy, out of the reach of Satan and sin and the world. One day, the saints will be in the heavenly places. So, in heavenly places and spiritual, those two words distinguish these blessings from earthly or temporal blessings. And the in Christ makes it clear that His grace, His peace, and all these spiritual blessings, they are only found for those who are in Christ. Without Christ, apart from Him, there is nothing for man but misery and condemnation and wrath. If one is in Christ, united to Him, relying upon Him, then for that person, God is a blessing God with every spiritual blessing. And Paul does list some of the specific blessing in the verses that follow. You see chosen, holiness, blamelessness, predestination, adoption, redemption, forgiveness, rich grace, wisdom, insight, sealing of the Spirit. All these are part of the blessings for the saint. And this is what Paul prays, that you know God and you know these things. And there's a parallel passage found that we studied last year in 2 Peter 1. Remember where Peter wrote, "Grace and peace are multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that His divine power has granted to you everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence." And think of the other many blessings set forth in Scripture: regeneration, faith, hope, justification, righteousness, pardon, sanctification, perseverance. And then you have the fruits of the Spirit: love and joy and peace and goodness and gentleness. The Spirit dwells within you. He's living these things out. He is bearing His fruit in you. Nothing is held back. Every spiritual blessing is yours. Christ has secured, by His work on the cross, everything necessary to save you and all that's necessary to mature you and perfect your character and prepare you for heaven. Perseverance, protection, comfort, assurance, grace, strength, all of it. You didn't have those blessings before. They weren't yours before. But once you're born again, all these blessings are yours. Every spiritual blessing. And when we consider the temporal gifts, such as health or material possessions, worldly possessions, distinctions, you may be very poor in those gifts. For God sovereignly makes some rich and others poor. But every saint can join Paul here in blessing God for blessing you with every spiritual blessing. They're yours. Do you know it? Do you know what they are? Are you partaking of these blessings? Do you even know what's available to you, what He's done for you? It is a staggering, overwhelming truth when you consider what it means to be in Christ, that Christ and I are one, that He lives within me through His Spirit, and that every spiritual blessing is mine. I'm weak. I'm in the flesh. I'm a creature. But every spiritual blessing is mine. And I continue to receive and receive and develop and more grace and more peace and all these blessings until one day I will receive the spiritual blessings in full in heaven. I will be with him face to face. I will be with my God, and he will be with me. And what is the purpose of God? To call out a people to be his, to be with them forever. And he's doing everything that needs to be done. And he knows what I need. He knows every spiritual blessing I need. And every spiritual blessing can be traced to his grace. I don't deserve them. I didn't even have enough sense to look for them. I still don't even know what they all are. It's all grace. And that's how Paul finishes this section. And that we'll look at next week, verse 6, he says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. So, this concludes our lesson on the introduction and the first verse of the doxology. So, what is Paul doing in these three verses? What is his point? What does this do for the saint? He is stirring up the heart of every saint to be grateful and to praise God. I'm always amazed at how here at the chapel, Mr. Duncan will preach, and it always lines up with what I'm teaching, or very often it lines up with what I'm teaching on the next Tuesday. And he did it on Sunday. He was talking about apostleship and grace. And he said, grace and gratitude go hand in hand together. He is stirring up your heart in this letter to be grateful and to praise God. If we read through this, because the whole thing's going to be grace and praising God, he wants you to fill your mind with grace and the peace of God, which is in Christ. That the basis of your salvation is grace, and the grace is bringing you every spiritual blessing. If you see in yourself, if you see divine grace, and you're experiencing this peace that I'm talking about, and you consider this, and you meditate upon it, and you understand it, then you have assurance. You have protection. You won't embrace false doctrines if you understand sovereign grace. You won't. You won't be filled with doubt. You will be filled with assurance and hope, because your future, your security, your life rests on the revelation of God's grace to you. It'll cause you to praise his name. It'll cause you to bless him. It'll cause you to fall on your face before him in humility, because you sense his sustaining grace is what you need every day of your life. It's what you need. And you will live accordingly. Understanding these truths, you'll live accordingly. There's few things more important for you to know and understand than the sovereign grace of God and the rich blessings that are yours if you are in Christ Jesus. Blessings in the past, blessings for today, and blessings for the future, all provided by his grace. We're going to spend the next few weeks looking through verses 4 through 14 so that we can better understand these spiritual blessings. And by God's grace, we will better avail ourselves of these riches that are ours. If we're saints, we're members of the body of Christ, we're members of the church that he purposed, the church that he is building and blessing. The church is made up of saints. And the church could have no existence except by the will of God, the eternal purpose of God. The church could never furnish itself with the qualifications necessary to get into heaven. The church, the saints, need to be fit and to be prepared. So the Lord is building and preparing and fitting his people for the eternal glory by supplying us with every spiritual blessing needed. This is his will and this is his grace. Can you think of anything more encouraging? What do you lack? What is your spiritual need? Is there anything that he can't supply to you? If you go to him and look to his word and ask him, if you open your hand before him, he'll fill it. Philippians 4:13 says, my God will supply every need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Do you understand this? Or is your faith weak? Do you not know what you have available to you? Or do you have true faith at all? Are you truly a saint? Do you know about these spiritual blessings? Have you ever received that initial grace of God? Perhaps you're not at peace with God, but perhaps there's someone here that is still not at peace with God. Do you want these spiritual blessings? Do you want the grace and peace of God? If so, look to him. Confess your need of him and his redeeming work. Receive from him these spiritual blessings, which one of the great ones is the forgiveness of sins, which we'll talk about in a few weeks. Receive from him the gift of faith and repentance. John 3:35 makes it clear, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life. The wrath of God remains upon you. We were born with the wrath of God upon us, and it remains until we are in Christ. There is no other name by which you will be saved. There's no other way. It's without Christ. Without Him, there's no blessing. If you're not saved, may God open your eyes to see the truth and call you out of darkness into His light. And if you are saved, then this greeting is for you. This introduction is for you to remind you as a saint, you're believing. You are in Christ, and this should encourage you. May you increasingly experience His grace and His peace every day. May your faith be increased as you sense His grace and His power at work in you. Don't live like a pauper. Realize the spiritual blessings that are yours. What is your purpose in life? If you're a saint, what is your purpose in life? To glorify Him, to serve Him, to honor Him. You are His purchased possession. You are to glorify Him and you to further His cause. You're to live in love before His people. You're to be a light. Let me ask you, can you do that apart from grace? Of course you can. Can you do that apart from spiritual blessings? So if this is your purpose and you know that, and most of you nodded your head, you get this, this is your purpose, then what do you need to fulfill your purpose? Grace. You need grace. So you rely upon it every day. So that's why Paul starts out, grace and peace to you. Yes, grace is what started you, but you need sustaining grace every day, because without it, I will fail. Without these blessings, I will fail. If I try to save myself, I'm going to fail. And if I try to live out this holy life, I'm going to fail. It's Him at work in me. That's your security. That's your assurance. I don't know how many of you have done this, but I tried so hard for a while to sanctify myself. I was going to clean up my act and be better. I was thankful for salvation, but now it's up to me. And that is absolutely wrong. You don't make yourself better. Are you responsible? Yes. And you may think everything I'm saying is very one-sided, but the first three chapters, this is what God has done. This is what God has done. Just wait. When we get to 4 to 6, there'll be plenty for us to do. We don't lay back on the couch and just wait. We're responsible people. We have to work. God is at work in us, and we're doing the work ourselves. We're responsible. So we'll get to that. So if I don't mention that for several weeks here, don't think, well, boy, this is really an easy thing here. We have nothing to do. He's done it all. That's true. He's done it all. But we have something to do, and we'll see our responsibility as we go through this. So praise Him. Once again, most of you in this room know grace and peace. You understand the will of God. You've been taught these things. If you're at the chapel, you've been well taught. But we need to be taught again and again. And remember, because it is grace that sustains us each day. And the peace of God is so important. If you can remember what it was like to live before you had the peace of God, anything could just set you off. Anything could just take away that bit of peace you thought you had and send you into a turmoil. But now with the peace of God, life is different. I promise you, if you will study Ephesians, the first three chapters, and if you'll get this in your heart, if you will apply it to your heart, it will change your life. It will change the way you live. It will change your outlook on things, because it is so powerful. When you understand His eternal sovereign purpose and how you fit in it, you can rest. You can relax in Him. There is great comfort and assurance and understanding grace and peace in His sovereign purpose. Any thoughts or any questions before we close? Yes, ma'am.
Sure. One of my favorite verses on the peace of God is Philippians 4:7, where Paul talks about the peace that passeth all understanding. And I think that's why when the world looks at believers, how we get through what we get through, it's that peace.
Absolutely. Absolutely. When you understand who He is and His eternal purpose and how you fit in, and that everything is for your good, and that everything is ordained by Him, and that everything is His will, and He's bringing it apart. Even the mundane, silly little things, and I won't go into it, but my computer crashed this past week. I almost had a nervous breakdown. But God was gracious. It's a long story, but it doesn't take much to just, oh my goodness, a computer. And we're just falling apart. We're weak, frail, creatures of dust. We're easily sick. We're easily thrown. We're prone to wander. He knows that. He knows what He created. He knows what we're like. He has planned that. That's in the decree. He knows all this. They're going to need this, and they're going to need this, and they're going to need it. Otherwise, they're never going to make it here with me. So I'm going to do everything they need. It's grace. It's power. It's God. And it will change your life. Now, for a few seconds, I have to admit the other night, I forgot all of this. but it quickly came back, and I was able to use it. Thank goodness for the continual dwelling of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't leave me. He doesn't run when I run. He stays right there and pulls me back and points me back to Jesus. Thank you, God. Anything else? All right. Well, you have your homework for next week. We're going to cover 4 through 10, I think it is. I've already forgotten. The next section where God the Father's work is being praised and blessed by God. Let's close in prayer. Holy Father, Almighty God, Sovereign God, we just bow down before you and thank you for grace. I pray that you will work in the hearts of each one of us to give us a better understanding, a clear understanding of grace and what it is. Father, we're so prideful and so arrogant, we think we have something to do with it. But it's all you in love and grace and power, and we just thank you so much for all that you have done, for all that you are doing, and all that you will do. You are a God we can't even describe, but you've given us in your word descriptions, your attributes, your character. We'll never be able to understand it completely in this world, but one day we'll see you face to face, and we can rest in the fact that you are fitting us, you're preparing us, you're doing everything that needs to be done to get us where we need to be. Father, increase our faith. Increase our love for you. Don't let us have cold, dull hearts when we hear this. Do your powerful work in us and get us on our face before you, praising you and living according to these great truths that we're learning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.